This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Do the news media have a conservative bias, as Bernard Goldberg asserts in his best-selling book? Or are the media more conservative than liberal, as Eric Alterman says in his new book, What Liberal Media? We're asking Goldberg and Alterman to each make his case. First, Bernard Goldberg. His book, Bias, was a number one bestseller when it was published in hardcover. Now it's on the paperback bestseller list. Goldberg looks primarily at network TV news. He was a reporter and producer for the CBS Evening News for nearly 30 years. In 1996, he wrote an op-ed piece for the Wall Street Journal in which he cited a report that had recently run on the CBS Evening News to illustrate what he sees as a liberal bias in the news. He left the network 4 years later. Goldberg says there's not a well-orchestrated, vast left-wing conspiracy in America's newsrooms. Here's what he says is happening.
What happens, and the way media bias works, I think, is like this. The media elites live in places, basically, like New York and Washington. They go to dinner parties and cocktail parties and socialize with their smart, sophisticated liberal friends in New York and Washington. Their newsrooms are populated by like-minded people on many, many of the social issues, whether it's feminism, race, gay rights, even homelessness, things like that. After a while, the media elites, while they're able to spot a conservative point of view 10,000 miles away through brick walls, they really think that their views aren't liberal on these issues. They think their views are reasonable, are mainstream, are moderate. And they think that because, well, all their friends think that way on those issues. That's the nature of liberal bias in the news. It's not a conspiracy. It's not something that they come in the morning and are determined to accomplish, but it is a kind of groupthink, and in that sense, it's not a good thing, because I think you could hook my friend Dan Rather up to a lie detector machine, ask him if there's a liberal bias in the news, even from time to time on the newscast, he'd say no, and I don't think the needle would budge.
Well, give me an example of a program or a network or an individual who you think displays this type of media bias that you're describing.
Well, I don't think ABC, NBC, or CBS are really that much different from each other. I just think it's who they are. It's part of the mindset. Let's take a subject like abortion. Very controversial subject. Americans are split on it. Yet when political reporters report about abortion, they say correctly, by the way, correctly, they say that Republicans have to appeal to the anti-abortion people on the right in the primaries, and then the Republicans have a real problem getting back to the middle to appeal to the broader electorate in the general election. They're right about that. But Democrats have the exact same problem, but it's never put that way. Not long ago, six Democratic presidential candidates went to a NARAL Pro-Choice America, the biggest pro-abortion lobby in America that supports abortion without restrictions, and they appealed to those people. But a recent Gallup poll shows that only something like 24% of the American people fit into that category of abortion without restrictions. But the reporters who reported about that didn't say Democrats who appeal to the left wing of the Democratic Party are going to have a problem when they go into a general election because most voters are not for abortion on demand. It's framed the default position, Terry. Let me put it that way. The default position is that Republicans and conservatives have the problem with abortion in America. Liberals and Democrats don't, because liberals and Democrats on abortion are mainstream. Republicans and conservatives are not mainstream. Factually, that's just not true.
Your book about liberal bias has been a number one bestseller, but a lot of people say, well, the opposite is true. If the media has a bias, it's a conservative bias.
Yeah.
And those people would say, look at talk radio, look at Rush Limbaugh, Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, Sean Hannity, Neil Bortz, Bob Grant, Michael Medved. So what's your response to the people who say if there's a bias, it's really a conservative bias in the media?
Well, there's no question that when it comes to the world of opinion, conservatives are not shrinking violets. There's no question about that. The talk radio is dominated by conservatives. Absolutely true. But there's a difference between talk radio and talk television, for that matter, which is what Bill O'Reilly does and Sean Hannity on television do, and news, straight news, allegedly, supposedly objective news. I don't have a problem if everybody on talk radio were liberal. The marketplace is going to determine that. But I do think this. I think if it weren't for a feeling in much of America, among millions and millions of Americans, that the mainstream media, the media that's supposed to give it to them straight, and they don't confuse that, I don't think, with talk radio, where they understand that that's an opinion medium. If the mainstream medium were only giving it to them straight, I'm not sure that there'd be a Fox News channel, for instance. I think Fox News is the direct result, and its growing success certainly is the direct result of a disillusionment with the way the mainstream media is operating. So I think, yes, there's no question that in talk radio and on Fox, there's a conservative attitude and a conservative slant and whatever you want to call it. But power comes from numbers in the media. And Fox has about a million viewers a night, and the CBS Evening News, ABC, NBC, and PBS Evening Newscast combined have about 35 million viewers a night. I'm not all that worried about Fox, which is a talk opinion program in the evening, but I'm more concerned about 35 million people watching a supposedly objective newscast and not always getting it that way.
Let me quote something that Neil Gabler said in response to the whole debate about whether the media has a liberal or a conservative bias. He said, "The real media war today isn't between liberals and conservatives, but between two entirely different journalistic mindsets, those who believe in advocacy and those who believe in objectivity, or at least the appearance of objectivity." What do you think?
Well, I'll use me as an example. I believe in objectivity. I don't want a conservative newscast. I don't want CBS News to take a poll and say, since our ratings have been slipping, let's find out what the American people want. And if they want a conservative newscast, we'll give it to them. So the debate among some people may be the way Neil Gabler described it. But I just want a newscast. I just want a newscast that has more views from various points on the spectrum. We get intelligent liberal views. How about a few more intelligent conservative views? I think that's really the nature of the problem. But I'm willing to accept, and I'll say for argument's sake, I'm willing to accept, I'm just dead wrong about all of this. I tried to get it right, but I got it all wrong. Here's the real problem for the media elites, the real problem for Rather, Brokaw, Jennings, and people at the New York Times like Howell Raines. Millions and millions and millions of Americans think I got it right. I'm not a Svengali. Believe me, I don't go out there and hypnotize people to either buy books or to agree with me. They just do because it resonates. And they do, actually, because I caught up with many of them. I mean, they didn't catch up with me. So even if I'm wrong, then I can be dismissed. I don't have a problem with that. But what are the media elites going to do with those millions and millions and millions of Americans who also think the way I do on this issue? Sooner or later, and this is crucial, sooner or later, the people at the networks are going to have to deal with those people because they continue to lose viewers. And at some point, they'll either deal with them and address the issues and not ignore this whole problem, or they'll become less and less relevant.
Do you think that the success of your book shows something that might not be what you think it shows? And here's what I'm thinking. A lot of people seem to really enjoy news as sport, news as opinion, news as argument, as demonstrated by all of the point-counterpoint kind of shows where you've got two people from opposite sides who are kind of battling out every issue through the evening. And you have shows like that on CNN. There's, you know, a lot of interviews like that on MSNBC. Fox certainly has plenty of, opinion, mm-hmm, journalism, and your book is opinion journalism in the sense that, you know, you're giving your opinions. The book is very much about what you think. It's about your opinion. Maybe, you know, if you're arguing that the network news is losing listenership, is losing viewers, maybe it's losing viewers because people would rather have more opinion. Maybe it's not because they're biased. Maybe it's because they're not opinionated enough for people who are so used to opinion journalism.
Well, it's true that we live in the United States of entertainment. And people, for whatever reason, need conflict. It's like television is like literature, but not necessarily good literature. It's like everything has to be has to have a conflict, good guys, bad guys. So you're definitely onto something there. But the arguments in the book that I make, yes, of course they're my opinion, just as the arguments in anybody's book, you know, are those person's opinions. But I don't think if I had argued the opposite, if I had argued, for instance, that people who say there's a liberal bias in the news are right-wing dolts who are taking their marching orders from people like Rush Limbaugh, I don't think the book would have been successful because I don't think that's what so many Americans actually believe.
But I guess what I'm asking is, do you think that your book in its own way is increasing this climate of opinion journalism where people like the fight, they like the controversy, and maybe even become less interested in the journalism of fairness, the journalism of just examining, right. You know, gathering facts and examining all the points of view and presenting them?
Yeah, that's a very good point. That is, you know, I'd love to say, I don't know what you're talking about, but I do. And it's a very good point, and it's certainly possible. I try to make the book entertaining. I admit that. At least I acknowledge it. Admit implies some, you know, guilt along the way. I acknowledge that I tried to make the book entertaining, but I also, I mean, I tell real stories about how we cover AIDS and how we cover homelessness and how we cover racial issues. There's a danger, though. You're absolutely right. There's a danger that if something isn't entertaining in this country, it doesn't survive. I think everything in the mass media has to be entertaining at some level. If it's simply dry statistics, no matter how intelligent it is, this isn't my fault. This is just the way it is. It's not going to work. If it isn't entertaining, it dies sooner or later, and usually sooner.
Could you choose an issue, a major issue in the news, possible war with Iraq, Bush economic plan, some like really major front and center issue in the news that you think has been handled with bias by most of the media?
Whenever a story about AIDS comes up, I just wait for the bias to come out. If even one person in America or any place in the world has AIDS, it's a terrible, terrible, terrible tragedy. I mean, that I hope goes without saying. But what the media started to do 20 years ago, but continues to do today, is that it tells us that AIDS isn't just a disease in the United States, I'm talking about, in the United States. It's not just a disease of gay men and junkies. AIDS is everybody's disease. This is how it started in the 1980s. They said AIDS was a disease where everybody is at risk. And they managed to create an epidemic of fear. And the fear was that heterosexuals, and not just heterosexuals who were having sex with junkies, but heterosexual Americans were the next big wave. We were told that 1 in 5 Americans would be dead by the year 2000, and just a bunch of insane things. Well, the media has never corrected that. That didn't happen. All you have to do is look around and say, well, where are all these dead heterosexuals? They're not in my newsroom. They're not on my block. Where are they? And they've had every chance to correct that. But whenever they do a story, I mean, I'll bet you if you go out and did a poll right now and ask mainstream America, do you think heterosexuals are at high risk for getting AIDS if they have quote-unquote unsafe sex with other heterosexuals? They'd say yes. But it isn't true.
you work under the assumption that a lot of the reporters in the press are liberals, and that even if they try to be fair, their bias will express itself in their reporting. Do you think it's possible for a journalist to have a political point of view and yet to believe so much in the profession of journalism and in the code of impartiality for reporters that that they are doing a very fair and balanced job in spite of the fact that they may have a point of view?
Yeah, a couple of things. First, it's not my feeling that most journalists at big news organizations are liberal. It's their feeling. The Los Angeles Times has done a poll. All sorts of people have done polls on this, where they ask journalists to identify themselves. And on issues from abortion to guns to death penalty and affirmative action and all sorts of things, they come down on a side that's more liberal than the American people. So that's not like my opinion that they're liberal. Do I think that they can put that, whatever their politics are, aside and cover the news because that's what journalists are supposed to do? Yeah, I think they can, and I think sometimes they do. What I'm saying is when you have so many like-minded people in the newsroom, even when you try to do the right thing, and I've never said that they don't try to do the right thing, it's just difficult. Let me give you an example, Terry, involving guns. A while back, there was a rampage at a law school at a law school in the western part of Virginia, and the rampage involved a student who had a gun and shot and killed several other students and wounded others, and he was on a rampage and he probably would have killed and wounded a whole bunch more, except that three students went to their cars, two of whom had guns, and two of these students went back and used their guns to subdue the gunman, the one who was killing the students. I spoke to one of those students who had a gun, and he said he told that story, the one I just told you, to 50 to 100 reporters, and yet virtually none of them. I did a Nexus search. I could only find four stories that mentioned that the students who subdued the gunman also had guns. Now, why is that? I mean, that's strange. That's monumentally bad journalism, since that's a crucial part of the story. It explains how the rampage ended. Well, perhaps if there were more journalists out there who, and I'm not a gun person for whatever that's worth. I don't like guns. I don't like having them around. I don't like looking at them. But if there were more journalists who weren't liberal on the issue of guns, and more journalists in the newsroom who were conservative and thought that, well, guns aren't a bad thing necessarily, then that story would have come out right. And they couldn't have made the mistake honestly. I mean, I do believe that most mistakes are honest mistakes. But that one, they had to consciously decide to leave out such a crucial piece of information. And I think I'm connecting the dots here. I don't have absolute proof, but I think it's a safe bet that they left out that crucial piece of information because here was an example of someone using a gun to do something good, and that didn't fit the preconceived notions. And that's where much of the bias in the media comes in. They're based on preconceived notions. How are we supposed to feel about certain issues? If it's homelessness, well, we're supposed to feel that they look just like you and me, even though they don't look just like you and me. Things like that.
I don't want to make this about NPR, but I'm just curious, where do you think NPR fits in your charge of liberal bias?
Well, I think NPR does a lot of very interesting and intelligent things, so I don't have a problem with that. If I have a problem with NPR, is that they'll devote 10 minutes to a fascinating subject, and then they'll also devote 10 minutes to somebody who's planting petunias, you know, in her backyard. So I find some of it not especially interesting, but I find that's not a wrap. I mean, that's true in a lot of places. Ideologically, conservatives certainly think that NPR is a liberal network and the talk shows are liberal. As a matter of fact, when liberals started complaining about conservative talk radio and said, we need our own liberal network, my two or three conservative friends said, what do you think NPR is? And I do think, certainly on talk shows, there's some truth to that. And I've been on about 400 radio shows around the country and a couple of local NPR shows. And I will tell you, Terry, they are demonstrably different than the other talk shows that I've been on, ideologically speaking. So, yeah, there's certainly a lot on NPR that tilts to the left, but I also think there's an awful lot of very, very good stuff and intelligent stuff and stuff that goes more than a minute and a half on NPR, and it serves a great purpose.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you, Terry, for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to try to get some of my points out.
Bernard Goldberg is the author of the bestseller Bias. We'll hear from the author of a new book that responds to Goldberg's book in the second half of the show.